Week 17 waiver wire. Time to win a championship if you haven't already won it. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, presented by Squarespace. Start building your website at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout. Get 10% off. That's Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Hey, what's up? I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard.
Hi, Adam.
Welcome in, everybody. It's week 17, Dave. We only have a few shows left this season, but we never go away. We are like that disease that just once a week in the off season. We're like a stomach bug that comes, but a good one.
I don't want to call our show a disease.
I couldn't think of anything else that like didn't.
Unless you want to say it's an epic, amazing disease.
Yes, exactly.
That infiltrates your life once or twice a week.
Right. So we have a normal week this week, and then off season once a week we're podcasting. So stay tuned for that.
I think we should amend that to at least once a week during the off season.
Fine.
And if the mood ever catches us, and if there's enough news, we should do another podcast. We should do some surprise podcasts.
Why not? I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Now, we have also a radio show on Saturday nights, Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, and I wonder. We might actually have to do a normal radio show. Usually it's just, hey, Mike from Illinois, what's your question? Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're great, Mike. Thanks for asking. What's up?
I got two questions. I got to start blah, 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 or blah, 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 blah.
That's the right.
I don't mean to make fun of it, but.
No, it's actually a lot of fun and very helpful. But Dave and I actually might have to talk about stuff. I don't know how many callers we're going to get.
So. Could you guys listening just call us up and ask us fake Week 17 questions?
Or actually,
or feel free to ask us questions for 2016.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. I think we should focus on 2016. And I want to know who people are going to take number one overall next year. I think it's a pretty tricky question. So we can talk about that Saturday night, maybe a little bit tomorrow, too. Tomorrow, mailbag. If you have any questions, email us fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Could be about anything. Literally anything. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
I'll answer anything.
Yeah, let's have fun with it. But who's resting players this week, Dave? What do fantasy owners need to know in that regard?
Well, you've got the Redskins, and that's it.
Are they definitely going to rest players? Have we heard anything?
I think they're definitely going to rest anybody who's banged up, injury prone, or crucial to their success in the playoffs. Now, it could mean, and there's no definitive word on this, it could mean that Cousins plays a half, a quarter, a series, maybe even three quarters. Who knows? But I would be surprised if Deshaun Jackson played a full game. I would be surprised if he were even active because we know he's not 100%. I would imagine they would be nervous about letting Jordan Reed go out there for a long time. And I don't think that they would want Kirk Cousins to play. There's also some offensive linemen that are banged up. I don't know if they want Cousins to play behind a banged up offensive line. I don't know if they want him to play without Deshaun Jackson. I bet they treat it like a preseason game.
I wonder, though, if Jordan Reed, if you're expecting him to play a half, let's say, is he still going to be a top 10 tight end?
I put him in my top 12, assuming he plays one half.
Yeah. All right, so we have time to make those decisions. But if you are a Jordan Reed owner, might want to be active on the waiver wire. Jamie will come in just a little bit, and we'll get into the waiver wire a little bit more. But I want everybody to know how the Colts can make the playoffs. So here's how the Colts can make the playoffs. Colts beat the Titans, and this is from our website.
They got to win, right?
Yeah. Texans lose to the Jaguars. Now,
I suppose that's possible.
Possible. Now, okay. Bills beat the Jets.
You know, that's going to be the Rex Ryan Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be totally surprised if the Bills won that game?
No, not at all. Dolphins beat the Patriots.
Oh, well, that's going to happen.
Wouldn't be totally surprised, honestly.
Are you serious?
If Tannehill's healthy and he plays, would not be totally surprised.
I would be so shocked my goatee would fall out of my face.
The Patriots, well, I want to see who's healthy. I mean, if Amendola, Edelman, and the two safeties are all
it's
out
Vollmer,
again.
It's Vollmer who I'm curious.
And Vollmer, exactly. I think it wouldn't shock me. I feel like the Dolphins in Miami typically play the Patriots well. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, but it's the Dolphins.
The Ravens beat the Bengals. That one would surprise me.
Did you see Ryan Mallett play last week?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco better be worried about his job.
Falcons beat the Saints. Okay. That wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Raiders beat the Chiefs. That's going to be a tough one.
I think it's more likely that happens than the Dolphins beat the Patriots. Wait a minute. The Falcons beat the Saints? That somehow impacts the AFC South.
Yes, it is all about strength of schedule, strength of victory at this point. Because if the Colts win and the Texans lose, they finish with the same record and they went 1-1 against each other. So all these other scenarios have to happen to give the Colts a better, I think, strength of victory than the Texans. And that would be the Bills, Dolphins, Ravens, Falcons, Raiders, Broncos.
All right, so that's it, right?
Broncos beat the Chargers.
Oh, my.
And Steelers beat the Browns. Nine things.
Those last two, I think, can happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah. But if the Dolphins didn't have to beat the Patriots, I'd say there would be some semblance of a chance.
I can't see the Raiders beating the Chiefs.
By the way, who's the Colts quarterback this week?
Yeah, that's a good question. Steven Morris. Go Canes.
I'm not going to say to start him.
Well, listen, if the Broncos had lost last night, the Colts would already be out. But the Broncos with the overtime win, 20-17. Let's talk about this game for a bit. Brock Osweiler, 17 fantasy points. He has, he's been okay, but not so good for fantasy. This was, I think, his third best game.
I mean, the game against Pittsburgh, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's only had two games with more than 17 and six starts. All right, I want to see them unleash C.J. Anderson. I feel like, Dave, he should get more carries than Ronnie Hillman. I don't know if they will do that, but against San Diego, he's just been better than Hillman. Hillman, four straight games, less than 4 yards per carry. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure they would normally think about it, but that fumble that Anderson had isn't going to help his case. They're going to stick with a split.
That's annoying.
And it's going to be, yes, very annoying. It's been an annoying year to try and even think about Broncos running backs.
Anderson had a 39-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm. And now
I hear
Jamie entering the podcast studio.
What was that?
Excuse me, I had beans for breakfast. I'm sorry.
Who the hell has beans for breakfast, Dave?
Me and other bean lovers.
Oh, I see. Hi, Jamie.
Somebody is very excited that it's week 17. He just walked in, dropped the raspberry, and then threw a bunch of papers up in the air like he just finished his last day of school as a seventh grader. And he's clean shaven.
Is he talking today or?
Yeah, hold on. Here he is. Hi, Adam.
Okay.
It's me, Jamie. It's awesome. Season's over. But I didn't beat you in my fantasy league, so I'm better.
Oh, but he did win a very, very close contest. So actually, we should talk about that. Our June magazine draft. We did a June draft, and Jamie was in the finals. And what the hell is happening here? He's not in the room?
He's right here. It's me, Jamie. Jamie Eisenberg.
Okay. Well, I'll wait patiently. All right, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Let's talk about these guys, Dave. Sanders had 5 targets, but he had the touchdown. Thomas keeps getting a lot of targets, but he's not getting a lot of yards, and touchdowns are kind of iffy. So who do you like better in week 17 against the Chargers?
I would imagine that it's going to be Thomas.
If Rhett plays.
If Rhett plays, that's a good point. And if he doesn't play and their safeties are banged up, I think you could see a big game for both receivers.
Well, safeties aren't banged up. One's cut, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bad way for the Eric Weddle era to end there.
Era.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
Thank you for talking. It's nice to hear you. Good to have you on. Congratulations on the win. Back to that in a second. So, yeah, we can talk about Sanders and Demaryius Thomas later in the week, but Thomas owner's got to be frustrating. The guy gets 12 targets, and he's only had one game in his last 8 with more than 71 receiving yards. Just, I don't know, something wrong with him. He's not in sync with Brock Osweiler. Any other thoughts on this game? How about the Bengals? Anything to say about the Bengals?
Well, if McCarron's healthy.
Well, yeah, he's got his
wrist MRI coming.
Right. Well, okay, A.J. Green caught a touchdown, did not have anything in the second half, but he almost had another long touchdown. He could have had a
huge
game.
He almost had 2.
Oh, I missed one then. I know they threw deep
to him. He done better than we thought he would do.
There was one that hit him in the hands, and there was one that he was overthrown on.
I didn't see the one that hit him in the hands. I did see the one that overthrew him.
Yeah.
And the running backs stink.
Yeah, I think they find a way to bounce back next week.
Baltimore's
not big.
Baltimore had their big win. They're mm-hmm. done. I think Hill's going to have a 60-70-yard touchdown game.
Okay. Good luck. You really want to trust him? I mean, where are you ranking Jeremy Hill?
Well, given what running backs are right now, he's the number 2 guy.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to tell you all what I love about Squarespace and what you will love about Squarespace.
Can you sing it? I want to hear a song.
I don't know. In what tune?
Come on, you're musically inclined.
I know. Can you give me a song to like sing it to?
Yes. It is Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
It's affordable. Starts at just $8 a month. And you get a free domain when you sign up for a year. That was awful, by the way. But all right, seriously, in all seriousness, Squarespace, it is awesome. And like I said, inexpensive. $8 a month, free domain, you sign up for a year. Now, it's easy to use. No coding required. No experience required. Your site's going to look professional. You don't need a professional to make it. You'll be very impressed with the finished product. And finally, you know, a lot of options. Different templates to fit your individual needs. You can personalize your website, your portfolio, your online store. There's a reason why millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world are using Squarespace. Whenever it comes time for you to make a site, make sure you're making it on Squarespace. And you can start right now at a free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. Use our offer code FUN. Get 10% off your first purchase. Build it beautiful. Dun, 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 dun.
You know what I thought of how you did on that read?
What's that?
I thought you were quick to the point, no faking. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon.
You really looked up the lyrics?
No, he knew him by heart, right?
No, he's reading them.
I looked him up.
I had to look him up.
I want to know the lyrics to Ice Ice Baby.
No, but I wouldn't be quick to the point.
That was pretty good. I liked it.
Purposely did that.
Very funny. Jamie, Dave, top three waiver wire priorities for week 17.
Not playing fantasy football.
Go on.
It's messy.
So you're saying no to Stephen Morris?
As is the world.
Yes.
Football. At least.
DSTs.
I mean, sure, there's something you could go with at DST.
No, the three DSTs that Jamie put in the notes are the top three DSTs actually in fantasy over the last 3 weeks. And that would be the Rams, who are at San Francisco, the Redskins at Dallas, and I think my personal favorite, the Colts,
yep.
At 11%. They are facing Tennessee, and in their last five games, they have 17 sacks. They had 14 sacks in their first 10 games, and Tennessee allows the most fantasy points to opposing DSTs. So I don't know, the Rams, the Redskins, the Colts. I do worry a little bit about the Redskins just because they have nothing to play for, and
right.
They could be sitting defensive players too. But
they absolutely will.
That might be the first.
Kellen Moore.
That might be, yeah, I know, but that might be the first place I look, guys, just to get the conversation started.
I agree with you. I think Indianapolis is pretty much the best one. Patriots are pretty much well-owned. I don't think you're going to be able to find them. And Rams are a close second, I think, against San Francisco. We saw Blaine Gabbert. He started hot last week and then kind of fell back to earth. And I don't know if DeJuan Harris is really the answer at running back for them. I was surprised with how well he played.
Okay.
But that he'll take us to running back streamers for sure.
Any other like major guys you're looking at? It is not a great week.
It is not. But
no, I think I have a sneaky feeling Steven Jackson.
Ah, okay.
Dolphins stink.
They do. And
they may just rest their guys in terms of
possible.
Bolden. And not that they're going to rest Bolden and White.
I think they rest them. Well, I don't think they like Bolden in any type of like legitimate role. Like, I think that's the one thing we've learned is that, like, when somebody gets hurt in a game, they'll use Brandon Bolden at running back.
Sure.
But when a game starts fresh and new, Brandon Bolden goes back to being a special team superstar.
Yep.
I'm going to disagree with you on Steven Jackson. I think Pierre Thomas might actually get some opportunities.
Yep.
DeJuan Harris, the aforementioned DeJuan Harris.
Don't want any part of him.
Because it's the matchup against St. Louis.
I just don't think he's very good.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but any running back that might get 15 touches this week, I'd be happy to have. You put Rashad Jennings on the list, he's obvious. He's really been running well,
yep.
And the Giants have committed to him. And the matchup is great. He's playing Philadelphia.
Eli is going to be the start of the week this week.
Nice.
Oh, what a novel idea, by the way. It only took 14 weeks for them to commit to a running back. I mean, how stupid. Just ridiculous. He could have had a decent year for fantasy.
I bet they were worried about him breaking down.
Oh, give me a break. For 13 games?
Yeah.
Actually, I guess 12, and then finally in week 14, in their 13th game of the season. No, give me a break. That's not what they were worried about. He would get like five carries. Ridiculous. Whatever.
Come on, you had to see what Orleans Darkwood could do.
It's just fine. See what he could do. He didn't do anything. Like
it felt like it was training camp all season long for the Giants running backs.
It was really it was
like
really
a season long tryout.
All right, here's an email of the day. We'll get back to the waiver wire in a second, but let's have some fun. It's week 17. This is from Andrew in a West Michigan city.
Grand Rapids.
For the craziest of players that go to week 17, can you discuss some strategy and some games to keep in mind while entering the last week of the season? For example, if my opponent has Cam Newton or Gronkowski, what should we keep in mind? Is there anything? This isn't really a normal week 17.
That you should have played them in week 16.
Yeah, this is as close to a regular season normal week as you'll possibly find for a week 17 game.
Yeah, exactly. Matchup.
I mean, it's like I said, Adam, there's one team that will rest its starters.
But you do have to be cautious of injured guys coming back for teams that are out of it. You know, that's something that I don't think Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant play.
Right, right. Good call. Like so, LeSean McCoy in Buffalo,
LeSean
too.
LeSean McCoy's not going to play. He's not going to play. You know, so that's something I think you got to take into account. The other thing would be is that when Carolina has a lead and they know maybe what the score is of
the Cardinals
game.
Right, because they're playing at the same time.
Are they, you know, pulling guys off the field at that point? Same thing the other way around. You know, so New England and the Bengals and Broncos. So,
do you think the Dolphins have a chance against the Patriots this week?
Oh, great.
Adam tried to argue that they did.
I don't think they have a great chance. If Tannehill plays, if they have
it's
some
better if Matt Moore plays. To be honest with you,
no, it isn't.
In terms of your theory, because Tannehill's not 100%. He's dealing with an ankle injury and was peeing blood.
Okay, fine.
So he's going out there just based on, you know, I'm trying to be a tough guy.
Yeah, no, just you know the whole like this is their Super Bowl thing, and this is exactly just I didn't think the Ravens had a chance last week.
I think their
the
Super
Steelers.
Bowl is cleaning out the locker room.
Yeah, this isn't that type of scenario, Adam. Oh, that's the Bills scenario.
I mean, I just feel like they always play the Patriots. They typically play the Patriots tough in Miami.
It's usually though they usually catch them. This is weird. They usually catch them in the first game in Miami, and then they go to New England to close the season. This is usually the reverse.
Yeah, they did beat them in week one last year in Miami. And whatever, I'll try to go back in time and look. But fine.
That was my finest moment.
Oh, they won last year in week, or they won 2013, excuse me, 24-20 against New England. That was December 15th. So that's two straight home games they've won against New England.
Did they have a coach and an offensive coordinator that was fired and 10 losses?
No.
Like, it's hopeless now. I think they just don't want to get hurt. And that's how a lot of players that are on these teams are going to think.
It's the
NFL.
No
one wants to tear an ACL in week 17.
You never
right.
know.
You have, you know, like you could see a Lamar Miller situation because he's trying to get a contract. You could see a Devontae Parker situation, you know, because he's, you know, healthy, feeling good. But guys that have been through this before, Dave's 100% right. It's get me to the summer and or get me to the, you know, offseason.
Get me to Monday.
And I don't want to, you know, have to rehab something for 4 months.
Look, you know, it's not like I'm making fantasy decisions based on this. All I said was I thought that they had a chance to win and that they might play tough or something. I don't know. It's being overanalyzed, I think. Anyway, here's our second email of the day. It's from Andrew. Where's he from?
Pittsburgh.
Andrew,
Kansas.
Andrew needs us to put our commissioner hats on. Okay. Last week, I lost by 0.02 points with Buck Allen's 0.20 on my bench. I got over it and I accepted it. It happens. This was week 15, by the way. However, on Saturday night at 11 p.m., I log into my league, which is on another site, and it says Denard Robinson has a stat correction from the NFL for 13 extra rushing yards. I started Robinson, and those 1.3 points would give me the win.
So he won.
However, the site wouldn't automatically adjust the points because week 16 had already started with two games, but it did give commissioners the option to manually adjust it.
So he won.
I texted our commissioner right away. I felt bad for the guy who, in quotes, beat me. So I suggested a three-way championship matchup. However, the more I thought about it, the more I thought I should play in the final. I had won after all. The commissioner decided to do nothing because the guy who would be missing out on the final was protesting that the week had started. I obviously believe I should have been put in the final, not to mention lots of money was in play for first place. I thought the three-way championship was a fair compromise. However, end of the day, I technically won and should have been in the final. What would you have done?
I would have said, if you're not going to give me the opportunity to play in the championship that I rightly deserved, give me my money back and I'm not playing the league anymore.
And if you're the commissioner, what would you have done?
I would have put the guy in the championship game. He won.
And then you would have had another guy mad because I won the game in the first place.
No, he didn't. It's stat correction. It's stat correction.
But the stat correction came late, too late. See, this is one of the reasons why at CBS we've got a deadline for stat corrections. And if there's a stat correction after that deadline, there's just nothing that you can do. It's not going back. I actually think it's kind of crazy that the site let you know about this and offered the commissioner even a chance to fix it. At the same time, I think this is a tough spot for any commissioner to be in because he's going to piss off somebody really, really badly.
Yeah, I agree. But I think he's got to do the right thing, and that is the guy who had Denard Robinson won the game. He should have.
Yes.
Okay, but then it's week 16, and it's two games into week 16.
I know, it's tough.
Going to influence the lineup of the new winner.
Influence what? The line. Oh, yeah. Right,
because he already
knows
some of the results from week 16.
So
he already knows.
Okay, you got to play the same lineup you played in week 16 unless there's somebody injured. Week 15. Unless there's somebody that you started that got hurt.
Okay, I would be fine with that. I think that part of it is fair, but how do you make it right otherwise?
If the guy won because of there was a correction that was a mistake, it shouldn't matter that the week already started. He won.
He did win. But it is a tough spot. It sucks to be a commissioner. That's a really
tough
spot.
Like, you're going to lose a player from your league no matter what. And you might lose more than one because
the guy who won lost because of the corrected stats should understand that he lost.
He did. Yeah, he did lose. Man,
I feel bad for the guy, but the guy who had the correction won the game.
I'm going back and forth between what you're saying and the three-way championship. And the fact that even the guy thought that a three-way championship was a fair compromise tells you a lot about his integrity because he realized that he won. He should be in the final. And he's trying not. He's being mindful of the other owner who is going to get the short end of the stick because of a stat correction. Now, what happens if that stat correction comes in 2 days after week 16 ends?
From week 15.
Yeah. Like, what if they just realize it?
Then you run the scores from week 16 from what happened based on the guy who won in week 15.
Fantasy can be brutal sometimes.
It sure can. All right, here's our team.
We had a different problem in my keeper league where the commissioner forgot to set a third place game in our league. I'm not the commissioner. I used to be. But the commissioner forgot to set a third place game, and there's a prize for third place. So the two teams that were fighting for third place are now up in arms over, you know, how do we settle this and all that, and there's money involved.
They didn't realize this until when?
Until after games had started, because they had set lineups.
So they set their lineups, just run it.
Or maybe one of them did not set a lineup because there was no reminder or something. I don't know what it is. I didn't finish in third
run
place.
Their stats is what their lineups is what they would have been.
Yeah, that's true. It's what they could have done.
All right, here's our Team Name Tuesday email. Team Name Tuesday comes from Kent. Where's he from?
He is from Bloomington, Minnesota.
He says, "Dear Zeppo, Harpo, Groucho, and Carl, I've been listening to you guys 5 times a week for about 18 plus weeks now. I've loved every show. After a roller coaster ride, my team managed to win the championship. Like Jamie, I was all in on Amir Abdullah at the beginning of the year, so I named my team Abdullah Jit to Quit."
Oh, God.
Pretty good. I like it. I went into Monday with it. Yeah, I do. I went into Monday with a 16.7-point lead. 16.7 points. With no other players left, playing Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders scored exactly 16.7 points. Bench points won it for me.
Nice.
And listening to you guys helped me get there. P.S. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. If so,
no wonder he reads this email. There we go.
If it is, so is Crazy 8 Crazy Nights, Batman 2, or Gremlins. Being set around Christmas doesn't make it a Christmas movie. If you can watch it all year long, it's not a Christmas movie.
90% of our audience emails Christmas Die Hard's a Christmas movie, but he picks the one that doesn't do it. It's good.
That's the one that gets in.
P.P.S. Terminator 2 is easily within the top 5 sequels to an original movie.
Oh, of course. No wonder.
Yeah. Here's another. P.P.P.S. Adam Azer is really one of the best hosts in the world.
Shut up.
He is so handsome. He's got a great voice.
It's all true.
He knows what he's talking about.
Dave, did you know that Zoe knows how to write?
He does.
Yeah, apparently.
She does.
Why is that? Oh, this is from my cat. This is from like
Zoe chose the surname Kent.
Zoe barfed all over my CBS blanket last night, so I don't think Zoe is listening to the show. She wouldn't have done that. It was really disgusting, guys. I gotta tell you. I just thought I'd share that. How do you feel about that?
How did the engagement go?
That's when she threw up. We put a ring on her back, and she was like, not having this.
I thought maybe she puked up the ring.
No. No, she did not. All right, some injuries. Brian Hoyer will start if he gets cleared. He will be talked about shortly in the waiver wire segment.
That's another guy you could pick up if you're somehow
he's a needy at quarterback if he's playing.
Yeah.
Matt Hasselbeck may not play. Andrew Luck may not play. Charlie Whitehurst on IR. And as we mentioned, Stephen Morris could start
Damn
for
it,
the
no
Colts.
Charlie Whitehurst.
What about the Titans defense?
Yeah, they're interesting.
They're awful, though.
They are.
Ryan Tannehill day-to-day. A.J. McCarron left wrist. And Andy Dalton might not be back until the divisional round of the playoffs, according to NFL Network. Cleveland, really? Could they bench Johnny Manziel for this latest video?
I mean, they could.
Ugh. Enough with the videos, dude.
You know, it's funny because the last time I had him listed as a potential waiver wire guy, I had to rewrite the column because he was benched.
Yeah, it's annoying. LeSean McCoy, we don't know. Do we know about Matt Forte?
Yeah, he's expected to play. I mean, it could be his last game as a Bear.
They're facing Detroit.
He could go out with a bang, too.
Marshawn Lynch, he could play.
Yeah, well, like, bang, look at Jeremy Langford run.
Look at Kadeem Carey. Marshawn Lynch could play. Jonathan Stewart might be able to play. Fozzie Whitaker will not play. He has a high ankle sprain. Dez Bryant looks like he might be able to play against Washington. Some other injuries here. Seattle could get Russell Okung, Cam Chancellor, and defensive tackle Jordan Hill back. Big game at Arizona. Denver linebacker Brandon Marshall and safety TJ Ward left with injuries last night. Buffalo defensive tackle Marcel Darius and cornerback Ronald Darby might be available this week. And Ladarius Green is on IR. Which might help Antonio Gates, guys. He's had 6 targets or more in 3 of his last 4 games, Ladarius Green.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To the waiver wire. Quarterback.
By the way, I don't know about you, Dave. I'm not ranking any of the Redskins guys.
I rank, like, the backups. Like, Pierre Thomas made the rankings.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not ranking any of the starters. Like, not, you know.
Kirk Cousins. I put Jordan Reed in there just in case he plays a half.
If they play Jordan Reed, they're the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life.
Have you met Jay Gruden?
Yeah, he's not that dumb.
Yeah, he did somehow put the Redskins in the playoffs.
Bruce Arians would play
Jordan
Reed the
entire
game.
If there's any
guy
you sit, it's Jordan Reed.
Sam Bradford and Brian Hoyer are probably the 2 best widely available quarterbacks. Bradford at the Giants and Hoyer against Jacksonville. Who would you guys rather start this week?
If I knew Hoyer was playing, I'd say Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
But Bradford, I don't know where you have him ranked, Dave. He's 13th for me.
Wow.
I can understand maybe starting him over Russell Wilson this week.
Maybe.
I don't think a lot of people would do it, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be surprised if that game's 40-39 Giants and Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an Arena Bowl game.
Yep. You know what? Bonanza. I'll say it.
New start of the week.
I've been getting better lately. And then other options, Brock Osweiler against San Diego, Johnny Manziel. Scored 17 fantasy points against Pittsburgh. Would you start any of these guys over Aaron Rodgers?
No.
No.
Rodgers is in 6 of his 7 home games, he scored at least, 5 of 7 home games, at least 22 fantasy points. He had 22 against the Vikings last time around. There's just something with him in that building. It's hard to get past.
Would you start any of them over Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want any piece of Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. All right, then. How about...
The clock struck midnight on Tyrod.
Do we have anything else to say with running backs or with quarterbacks?
No.
All right. Well, just give me your thoughts, I guess, on Osweiler and Manziel.
You think the Redskins will start RG3?
No. My buddy Mike Clay put out something on Twitter about it where there's like his contract for next year is guaranteed
if he gets hurt. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's sitting.
Oh, yeah.
He might take a knee.
Jamie, what about Osweiler and Manziel? They're going to make your column.
Osweiler would be a number 2 in a 2 QB league. And same thing with Manziel. I mean, I think San Diego's done. You know, they had their big game 2 games ago. Rivers will come to play because that's what Rivers does. But defensively, if they don't have Verrett and Weddle, I can't see them slowing down Denver.
If you're looking at your team right now and you're saying, I have to start these guys in my championship? Well, it's time to look at FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. You do not have to start lousy players. You can start a lineup of all-stars. You can do it, even with the budget constraints. It is possible. Of course, if you're like me and one of your all-stars was Martavis Bryant last week, that didn't work out so well. But contests start at just $1. FanDuel continues into the NFL postseason. Now's a perfect time to start playing NBA and other sports on FanDuel. We have a daily fantasy live video show and a podcast that can help set your help you set your lineups on FanDuel. If you love fantasy sports, you're going to love FanDuel. It's that simple. Trust me, I tried it. I tried it not knowing what to expect, and I absolutely love it. I can't wait to set my lineup for week 17. Can't wait to start playing more NBA. That's FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football. You know, I got to check. I don't even know if I cashed. Played a 50-50 last week. I'm going to check. I'll let y'all know. And
how'd you finish, Dave? Did you do well?
I did not. I at one point I got off to a red hot start. Let me see how I did this week. I think I made $2.
Oh,
maybe not even.
Hey, dinner's on me. I won $10. I finished 4,408th out of 14,000 last week.
Good for you.
Doubled up.
Good for you. Yeah, I got off to a bunch of hot starts. I started Cousins and Reed in a Thursday tournament, knowing that they weren't going to be as popular as they will be in the Saturday tournament. And I did, I think I made some money on that. Yeah, I did. I finished in the top 1,400 out of 32,000.
I think what's kind of cool about FanDuel is that you can, even with the budget constraints, you can start a lineup that would win in seasonal leagues. Like my lineup, which wasn't even great, it was what, 5,000 out of 14,000. Blake Bortles, Denard Robinson, David Johnson, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant, Michael Floyd, Greg Olson, Chris Boswell, and the Texans defense. So you get like really good lineups and really high scores, and it's fun. And Jamie, unbelievable that you won our June league with Roethlisberger and Martavis Bryant starting.
Yeah, it's nuts. And that was the one. I really have to implement my own rule of never making last minute decisions, because it always ruins fantasy teams. And so the last minute I benched Bortles for Roethlisberger and somehow managed to still win that one.
And what's crazy is you must have felt pretty good going into Sunday night, because you guys did not have anybody Monday. But going into Sunday night, you were playing against Will Tye and Blair Walsh.
And every Blair Walsh field goal, I was like, oh, come on.
You were up 28 points with Will Tye and Blair Walsh in a standard scoring league. Blair Walsh scored 23 points.
You know, I'm just... Thankfully, they pulled Will Tye at the end, because I'm thinking this is exactly what's going to happen. Is he's going to get that late touchdown from, was it Nassib in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is awful. But thankfully, he was on the sideline.
All right, let's look at the running backs now on waivers. Rashad Jennings, 10, 14, and 13 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in his last three games. And
it's kind of just, if he's still out there, please go get him.
Okay. And Bilal Powell, only getting about 12 touches a game, but making them count, especially in PPR. 5 catches and 34 yards in at least 5 for 34 receiving in 5 of his last 6 games.
Yeah, he gave you, what, 8 fantasy points in standard, 9 if you use decimals, and then tack on another 5 for full point PPR. I think that's his floor.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have a basis of what he is. I like Ivory better this week.
Me too. But I think he can score, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I think both guys have a chance to be top 24 running backs.
Bolden and Steven Jackson for the Patriots. Pierre Thomas, the Redskins running back, Pierre Thomas.
But one of
the
Patriots running backs is going to have close to 100 yards and a touchdown this game.
Well, obviously you have James White ahead of them.
Yeah, James White's the guy that you start, but I'm telling you, that's one of the daily league guys that's going to come through with the Frank Gore type game, because the Dolphins are awful. And I really think it's going to be Steven Jackson, just based on how Bill Belichick does. Look, it was a competitive game. He gave Jackson more carries than anybody else on that backfield.
But boy, he looked old.
He is old. So is Frank Gore.
Wait a second. No. Yeah. Bolden had 9 carries and Jackson
Bolden
had 7.
I got it reversed. I'm sorry. Bolden had 1 more.
I think he had 2 more, or am I wrong?
I thought it was 9-8. I could be wrong. Sorry.
I have 9-7. So it was either 9-8 or 9-7. But it was close.
But he gave Steven Jackson touches, which is like...
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom. That's right. What you were trying to say, is Steven Jackson actually had more than one token carry.
Right.
He only averaged 2 yards per carry. Bolden was terrible too. 9 for 30. Jackson was 7 for 15. Pierre Thomas.
The running backs in Detroit are jealous.
So you think Pierre Thomas is more interesting, Dave?
Who, what?
Pierre Thomas is more interesting than the Patriots guys?
Yeah, I think that they actually get him out there to play.
I'll disagree with that.
Cameron Artis.
Pierre Thomas route.
Cameron Artis Payne. Look, Whitaker's not going to play. So if Stewart doesn't play, why would Cameron Artis Payne jump closer to the top of this list?
He would.
It's a tough matchup for him, though.
It is, but it's also a winnable one for Carolina. And it wouldn't be surprised if he... Look, he disappointed. I thought he'd be, again, near 80 total yards this past week. He didn't quite get there. I think he can bounce back to an 8-point game in standard leagues.
Mike Gillisley has just, you know, he doesn't get a ton of touches, but he has a touchdown in three straight games. Drake Bell, you're hoping he finds the end zone at Chicago, and DeJuan Harris against St. Louis.
So Harris is going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah, I don't want any part of the last three guys if I don't have to, but
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
I'd rather take the chances with the touchdowns for those other guys than DeJuan Harris reverting back to what he is, probably what he normally shows you.
Would you start any of those guys, let's say Rashad Jennings or whoever second, over Jeremy Hill?
No.
Mm-mm.
You'd start Hill over Jennings?
No, I start Jennings over Hill. I'm sorry.
They're close, though. They're both number two running backs. Both top 20 running backs.
Okay. Wide receivers. You thought the running backs were bad. Keyshawn Martin is the headliner here. He had 7 catches on 11 targets at the Jets, and he will be at Miami this week.
That's obviously contingent on the other two guys sitting.
Dordell Green Beckham at Indianapolis.
We saw him 2 of the last 3 games without Kendall Wright in there play well. He scored on the Colts the last time he played them, and that was when he wasn't really as involved. So he's a third receiver, a high upside flyer type of guy.
Anquan Boldin against St. Louis.
I don't mind him.
He's got a good track record against them. He didn't play in the earlier meeting. And Gabbert, smartly targets him a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Washington against Jacksonville.
No Cecil Shorts. We know what the track record is there. Jacksonville's terrible.
I kind of want Hoyer to play, though.
I mean, look, he scored with him last week.
Without him? With Whedon, you mean?
He scored with Whedon last week. I don't think he's a must-start guy, but I think, again, he's in this third receiver conversation.
And Devontae Parker.
The good thing is, honestly, the receivers are kind of steady Eddie. You don't have Deshaun and Dez and Alshon, but, there's a lot of good options still available to you.
Yeah, and I was surprised Devontae Parker was last on this list. Keyshawn Martin, Green Beckham, Bolden, Washington, and Devontae Parker.
I just don't know what Tannehill's status is. That's the thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
And if Chung and McCourty play, that changes the entire tenor of that defense.
Sure. All right, so tight ends. Yeah, Zach Ertz. Now, I guess we probably should have talked about him with top priorities because he's playing really well. He's very involved. One thing to note, though, and he's facing the Giants, and they're just awful.
Right.
One thing to note, it's probably overthinking it, but Bradford, I know he's thrown a lot the last 2 weeks because they've been playing catch-up, and that might be contributing to the heavy volume and targets for Ertz. But even if it's a normal game, of like 30 to 40 passes, you got to feel pretty good about Ertz, right?
Oh, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And he should have had he missed him on a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He did.
Yeah.
Wide open. All right, Zach Miller is number two here. He's facing Detroit.
Yeah, he's going to light him up.
He led the team in targets, catches, and yards with Alshon Jeffrey out last week. So
Detroit is awful against tight ends.
Will Tye. Oh, yeah, but Detroit. So what is the stat? Every tight end that's had 6 targets or more has scored except for 1 this year against Detroit?
I don't.
Something like that.
Yeah, but you're in that range.
Will Tye and Vance McDonald bringing up the rear here.
Yeah, Tye finally had a letdown game, but
that was expected.
It's Philadelphia. It's going to be a track meet. There's not going to be a lot of defense played, so getting pieces of that Giant offense is not such a bad thing.
The Giants should have forfeited that game.
They did.
No, but they shouldn't even show up. They should have been like, look, okay, we get it. You
Our
win.
Plane got stuck. Yeah. There were no peanuts. Eli was sick.
What really pisses me off is the Reuben Randle touchdown. For fantasy purposes.
Yeah.
First of all, one of the interceptions should have been charged to him. And it's just so not representative of the kind of crappy game he had. Just ridiculous.
That's so Reuben.
You're such a weirdo today, Dave. I love it. You have this this blank eating grin on your face. Very proud of yourself. Good for you. All right, Vance McDonald. Anybody have thoughts on Vance McDonald against St. Louis?
I mean, you look at the games that he's had with Gabbert. He's done a nice job. Then he had the concussion, missed the game, came back, the shake the rust off game. And again, Detroit, they stink. So he was great against them. We'll see what he does this time around against the Rams. But the Rams have been sort of hit or miss against tight ends. I would gamble on him as a low-end starter.
All right, Rams, Redskins, and Colts are streamers that we like. I know Dave said the Colts are his favorite. Jamie, who's your favorite from that group?
They're my favorite.
I mean, if
favorite.
You get the Rams, the Rams are the easy one for me.
Okay, then. Kickers, Josh Brown, Nick Novak, and Caleb Sturgis. High scoring games there, potential for a lot of points. So we'll finish off today's show with some emails, with one email, because I'm going to save the rest for tomorrow on our mailbag show, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. If you have a keeper question, a week 17 question, you want to talk about 2016, you want to ask us about life, just total up for grabs mailbag.
Send in your engagement stories to give Adam ideas on how he should propose.
Love it. Love it. Okay, this is from Koosh in D.C. I won my league. I'm going to Disneyland. No, seriously. Today I'm taking my family to Disneyland. Anyway, thanks for all the great help this season. I took Rob Gronkowski number one overall, and you did mention my email on the radio at the beginning of this season, and last night I did, in fact, win my league with the following team. Carson Palmer, Lamar Miller, James White, Brandon Marshall, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry at flex, Rob Gronkowski, Steven Hauschka, and the Houston DST. On his bench, he has Cousins, Crabtree, Rashad Jennings, and Gary Barnage. Did Gronkowski win me the league? Probably not, but he was fairly consistent, and I wasn't one of the many people who lost first-round production from their number one draft pick. First-round picks didn't do great this year, and for me, this was intentionally a safe choice. I'm in a league that is knowledgeable and plays hard, so I don't think this was a fluke. Of course, I got lucky certain weeks, as we all must, and I made some decent waiver pickups, but I also dropped a ton of good people, including Jordan Reed, Golden Tate, Deion Lewis, Doug Baldwin, and others I can't remember. That's Koosh in D.C., and I thought it was interesting because I don't really remember. I vaguely remember, but we read his email earlier. Early in the year, he took Gronkowski number one. I'm not sure we liked it at the time, but he won the league, so good for him.
Well, it sounds like he won the league through good draft picks beyond round one as well. It's not as simple as I took Gronk in round one, I won my league. Like, you have to do a lot of other stuff.
Of course.
Rob Gronkowski is your first pick in order to win a league.
Yeah,
I think the thing that he said was entirely accurate, that he did not lose first round production.
Right, and I think there's a case to be made for that. Taking safer guys like a wide receiver in the first round.
Yep.
Looking forward to discussing that tomorrow.
We could definitely talk about it tomorrow. I also think it was a very weird year for first-round running backs. I can't remember a year where so many guys were banged up and
just
lost.
Go back to 2014, and then 2013, and then 2012.
Dude, it was like every running back picked in the first round.
It was terrible.
Got banged up, or in the case of CJ Anderson, sucked. And Eddie Lacy.
It's the same year. Same thing happened last year.
Yeah, but normally there's three or four running backs that play well. This year there was like one. You drafted Adrian Peterson. You were okay.
Well, it depends. I mean, McCoy was a borderline number one.
No one took McCoy.
Not for us. You guys were not even close to that.
More people took DeMarco in round one than LeSean.
Oh, I know. But I mean, he was still a top 12 running back. I don't necessarily look at round one as just number one guy.
I've had it.
I think this year will really influence how people draft next year, and it sounds like it's already impacting Jamie, and it's going to impact me too. I want a safe first round pick. I've always wanted that, and I think this year should hammer the point home of, well, even if you don't take a running back in round one, it doesn't mean anything. You will be able to find running backs off waivers, and I almost think you should count on that as part of your plan for fantasy.
Obviously, you guys know him, Darst. I mentioned him sometimes on the podcast.
Well, you say his whole name.
J. Darren Darst. And, well, nobody calls him anything but Darst. And he's, you know,
because they don't know whether to call him Jay or Darren.
he listens to the podcast, probably not listening now. He's on vacation, but, you know, he won a league that we're in, the one league that I'm in with him. And he had the second overall pick. It's a half point PPR. And he took Antonio Brown over Eddie Lacy. And I ripped him. On draft night, you know, I was like, you're crazy. And obviously,
standardly, you said?
Yeah, no, half point PPR. The ironic thing is that Brown was awful in week 16, but he still won the league. And he kept reminding me all season long. Remember when he told me to take Eddie Lacy instead of Antonio Brown? And yeah, I mean, maybe Brown's not the best example because, you know, with Roethlisberger out, Brown didn't. No, actually, Brown still had an amazing year. Is he the number one wide receiver right now?
That's a good question.
I can check.
It was Beckham going into last week, I think. It might be Julio now, actually. But those three
Julio's
are
like
really
some
close.
Crazy stat away from
16 catches and 200 some odd yards
it's the 200 yards away from
right. But he's also 16 catches away from the single season record.
Right.
Really?
And it's going to be fun if he goes for it.
Antonio Brown.
I think he will.
Antonio Brown, 222 fantasy points. Julio Jones, 218. Odell Beckham, 217. Allen Robinson, 213. And it was just so weird for Brown to have the game he had last week, because he, when Ben Roethlisberger plays, Antonio Brown is arguably the most consistent player in fantasy football.
Well, he had a touchdown that was overruled.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
And he had, you know, a big third down catch that was taken away from him.
Are you interested in knowing the top 12 running backs?
No, let's save it for tomorrow. I'm sure we can have fun with it tomorrow.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Lamar Miller still in the top five?
Who?
Lamar Miller.
You want me to save it for tomorrow or not?
Just tell me that, because I know we did it last week and he was number five.
Lamar Miller is not.
Yeah, I would imagine David Johnson caught him.
Where's Miller now?
He's sixth.
All right, guys.
Lamar Miller is a top six fantasy running back this season.
That's it for us.
Wow.
We'll keep podcasting, help you win week 17, and mailbag tomorrow. See you later.
All right.